This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Good morning. There it is. All right. You guys glad to be here this morning? Good, good, good. You can open your Bible to Genesis chapter 28, and we're going to start from there. Genesis chapter 28, and let's see. All right, hey, Memorial Weekend, huh? Looks like we've got some people that are enjoying the weekend, either at the lake or somewhere else sinning. No, I'm just kidding. Somewhere else being a heathen? No, just a bunch of pagans. No. Welcome to church. My name's Jason. I'm glad you're here. Oh, man, it's good to smile in church. But listen, we're glad you're here. It's going to be a great weekend. I really do believe that, and we're just kidding about all that, man. We love, cut that out of the podcast, all right? We love everybody, man, and hope everyone has a great time, and we'll see them back next week. But Genesis chapter 28, the title of this morning's message is Dream Again. Someone say Dream Again. And I feel like God put this on my heart for this weekend, and I do believe that it will bring transformation to us, and that we'll kind of allow God to speak to us. And and really, my heart is that it wouldn't just be communication this morning, but that it would be an experience and an encounter and impartation this morning. That God would do something in us. That's my heart. That God would do something in us this morning that will really activate a level of a walk with God and relationship with God that maybe hasn't been activated within us before, and bring a desire and a hunger for more of His presence and more of His goodness in our lives. So one more time, say, dream again. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your presence. God, we love You, and we just ask for Your grace, for Your mercy to be involved here this morning. I thank You, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will destroy every yoke and remove every burden. Father, we thank You for the spirit of wisdom and of revelation to be in operation this morning. God, You know each and every circumstance. You know each and every life that's represented here. And I'm just asking You to minister life, minister healing, minister deliverance, God, restoration to anything and anyone that is in this place. You know each and every situation. And I ask You to tailor fit this message, impartation, for each and every life, in Jesus' name, that we would encounter more of who You are. And Father, we thank You for the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. We give You praise for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You can go with me. I'm going to read a few scriptures before we get to Genesis 28, but at least you're there, and we'll get going. So what is a dream? What do I mean by a dream? I know that can kind of be a little bit vague. I'm not necessarily just talking about like a dream that you have at night. Really, what I'm talking about is God's dream for your life, God's dream for your and my life. Do you know that God has an incredible dream for your life? He has an incredible assignment, a plan, a purpose for your life. And so when I say God's dream, I'm talking about just that, God's desires, God's plan, assignment, and His purpose for your life. But you have to dream with God. Someone say dream with God. You've got to dream with God. Dream with God about your family. Dream with God about your finances. Dream with God about your future, about this city, about what God can do in this church and in this city. We need to dream. Someone say dream. It is a powerful and significant tool that God has given us, and I'll talk to you about how to do that. But you're going to have to do it. We do this by faith. So here we go. So because we understand that the dream I'm talking about, dreaming God's dream for your life, and really it's God's plan, God's desires for your life, let me give you some scripture that will kind of help me lay the foundation of that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. This is in the Message translation, and there we go. It is in Christ. Someone say in Christ. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Come on, somebody. It is in Christ that we find out who we are. A lot of people say, I'm just trying to find myself. Well, you really can't find yourself unless you find yourself in Christ. All right, this is where your true identity is given, is in him. And I don't have a lot of time to talk about that right now, but your identity is found in Christ. That we find out who we are and what we are living for. This is huge. This is God's plan, God's dream for your life. Why are you here? We've got to begin to dream God's dream. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. Come on, anybody glad about that? He had designs on us. He had a dream for us for glorious living, not barely making it, not hope it gets better. No, God had a dream for us for glorious living. Hallelujah. That sound good to anybody besides me? Hallelujah. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and in everyone. Jeremiah 29:11 in the New Living Translation says, "For I know," God says, "for I know the plans that I have towards you. I know the dream that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are dreams of good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Amen. So they are good plans. God's got an incredible dream full of glorious living, good plans, and your future is full of hope. Somebody say amen. Amen. I love this. Ecclesiastes 6:10. I love this. Everything has already been decided. It was known long ago what each person would be. So there's no use arguing with God about your destiny. Hallelujah. Come on, your destiny is great. There is greatness on the inside of you. Come on, I said there is greatness on the inside of you. God has great things for your life. He has great things to show you in his presence. You are significant. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are a chosen, hallelujah, generation. And there is greatness upon your life. There is an assignment for you to fulfill. And we've got a dream with God, the dream of God for our lives. Come on, if you believe it, somebody say amen. Amen. Jeremiah 1:5 in the Message. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. God said, before you were ever even knew you were going to come into this world, I was dreaming about you. I had holy plans for you. I had even already set you apart for a work. Hallelujah. I want to bring heaven to earth through you. This is God's plan for each and every person, but we've got to be willing to dream God's dream. Genesis chapter 28. We're going to hang our hat here for a little while. Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 13, and then 16 through 19. And we find that it reads this way. Now Jacob, someone say Jacob, went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. That'll be significant here in a moment. Went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones that was in that place and laid it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed. Someone say dreamed. And behold, the ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there were the angels of God there, ascending and descending on the ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it. The Lord God stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. And the land of which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants." God was reestablishing his promise to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant. God had a covenant with Abraham. And now we go to verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid. "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, for it is the gate of heaven." Verse 18. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, or Bethel. But the name of the city had been called Luz previously. I love it that a dream from God changed the identity of a city because God invaded Jacob's dream. Hallelujah. Do you know that if we'll dream God's dream, God can change the identity of a city? Come on, from gang-ridden and murder and all that kind of stuff. Come on, what if God just changed the identity of Salinas from gang capital and murder capital and whatever else? Come on, but this is now the house of God. This is now the gate of heaven. This is where people come to be saved. This is where people come to be healed. This is where people come to be delivered. This is where people come to be restored. Come on, does anybody believe that God can change the identity of Salinas? Come on, I just prophesy
over Salinas, that this is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Healing of Jesus is poured out in this place. Prophetic utterances are poured out in this place. Restoration is poured out in this place. Because God is here, God is alive, and He is moving in our midst. Come on. If you believe it, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
So Jacob found himself on a journey in his life, and he was leaving Beersheba. Beersheba means pit. A pit is a dark place. It's a place that you can't get out of. And yet he's leaving this place. Beersheba means pit. And he's on his way to Haran, which means parched and dry. So he's leaving a dark pit on his way to a place that is parched and dry. Have you ever felt like in your life that you're coming out of a pit? You've just been in a time where it's been difficult after just difficulty and pain and anguish and darkness, and you're kind of coming out of it, but then when you look in your future, the devil tries to say, you're just going to Haran. You're just going to another parched, dry place in your relationship with God. But right in the middle of that, God shows up and gives Jacob a dream. A dream, come on, this is important. Dreams are not just born in easy places. Sometimes dreams are birthed in hard places. That even though you may be going through a hard time, you can still have a dream from God that can change everything. Hallelujah. Am I talking to any dreamers in here this morning? And he dreamed, he had a dream, and in this dream he had a ladder, and on the ladder there was angels ascending and descending, and the ladder reached heaven and reached earth, and then God the Father was standing at the top of the ladder, and here's what God the Father said. He said, Jacob, he says, I am the God of your grandfather Abraham, your father Isaac, and I am your God. And the same way that I was faithful to them, I will be faithful to you. When God showed up, I love this because in Jacob's dream, he had a fresh revelation of God. In our dreaming, we don't need to be dreaming just for us and just for our family and just for good things to happen. We need to be dreaming God's dream. We need to say, God, I want fresh revelation of who you are. God, I need to know you. God, I need to walk with you every day. I want to be intimate with you. I want to be in your presence. I want the spirit realm to become my realm. Come on, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to dream the king's dream. I want to dream a dream that brings the kingdom of heaven into this world. I want the kingdom of God to overwhelm the kingdom of this world. And he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that may not be a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to me, and it was a big deal to Jacob, because that is covenant talk. That is talking. You may not know what a covenant is, but a covenant is, it is a promise signed and sealed with blood, and somebody had to vow to lose their life if the covenant was not kept. In fact, life was taken to prove I'm serious about this covenant, and we're going to go ahead and enter into a blood covenant here, and this covenant means that I promise to do what is stated in this covenant. So a covenant was a big, big deal, because what God was saying is, Jacob, the same way I kept covenant with your grandfather Abraham, and the same way I'm keeping covenant with your father Isaac, is the same way I'm going to keep covenant with you. And so covenant talk is a big deal. You may not know this, but the Bible is made up of two covenants. It's made up of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And the Bible says that every promise in the Bible is a covenant promise for you and for me. And God showed up to Jacob and said, Jacob, don't worry about it. I know you just came out of a pit. I know you just came out of a dark place. I know you just came out of a hard place. And when you look into your future, it looks parched and dry and ugly. But I came, Jacob, I'm going to show up in your dream, and I'm going to tell you, I'm still a covenant-keeping God. I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody in here who's ever seen the covenant-keeping God show up in the midnight hour. But there's been times when I didn't know what else to do. But what I did know, Ryan, was that my God is a covenant-keeping God. He says, I will watch over my word. I will perform my word. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I sent it forth to do, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I have found out, church, he's a covenant.
covenant-keeping God. He's a promise-keeping God. Do you know that the Bible says he bore my sicknesses and carried away my pains, and by his stripes I am healed because he loves me. Hallelujah. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. That's part of my covenant. The Bible says he sent his word and he healed me and delivered me of all my destructions. That's part of my covenant, Art. That's part of your covenant. The Bible says he will keep me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Peace is part of my covenant. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. That is part of my covenant. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be addicted. Hallelujah. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. For my Bible says sorrow lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Come on, Kathy, when they call you and say something's wrong with that grandbaby, we say, no, no, no. My God is a covenant-keeping God. He keeps covenant to 1,000 generations. I feel like saying no weapon formed against me is going to be able to prosper. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near my dwelling. Hallelujah. With long life he shall satisfy me and show me his salvation. Hallelujah. I'm grateful that my God is a covenant keeping God. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're grateful, give him a shout of praise this morning. Come on, the devil says, where's the money going to come from? I don't know, devil, but I know my God is a covenant-keeping God, and my God shall meet all my needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Hallelujah. The blessing of Abraham is upon me and upon my family, so I know my God is a covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah. When you dream God's dream, you get to know God as a covenant-keeping God. That he's not keeping his promise because of how good I am. He's keeping his promise because of how good Jesus is. Because you may not understand this, but the Bible is 2 covenants signed and sealed with the blood of Jesus. He gave his life and signed this covenant with his blood. Took his blood into the Holy of Holies. Placed it upon the mercy seat. And now his blood, we have a blood covenant with Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God. I love that. I love that. He didn't say he's a God. He said he is God. Come on, there's a lot of people who try to tell you they're God, but he just go ahead. Let me just take the mystery out of this. The Lord your God, he is God. Come on, not Buddha, not Mohammed, not Bob Marley, not Oprah, not Tom Cruise. Come on, somebody. Come on, man, smile in here. You don't like it? I'll keep saying stuff that messes with religious devils. Hallelujah. Right? The Lord our God, he is God. And the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Somebody say amen. Amen. It is our heart to keep the commandments of the Lord, and we will see that he is faithful to 1,000 generations. All right, so I want to submit to you that again, that dreams are not just birthed in easy times when everything's going well. Dreams many times are birthed in difficult places, difficult times. God will give you a dream. And Joseph was a dreamer. I was talking to a young man this week about it. Joseph was a dreamer, and you know the story that Joseph even became known as the dreamer. Oh, here cometh the dreamer. Joseph had a dream. God showed him that God would promote him to the place where almost the whole world, the whole nation, the nations would come and bow before him. He wasn't showing him that they were going to worship him. He was showing him that God was going to promote him and use him to affect the nations of the world for God's glory. Somebody say amen. So it wasn't a prideful dream. It was a God dream. And so when he told the dream to his brothers rejected it, were jealous of it, and
threw him in a pit, left him for dead, and then sold him into slavery. He goes into slavery. He's in prison now. His master's house, and the master begins to see that everything this guy puts his hand to prospers. God's favor was upon Joseph, and so he made him the second in command in his house. He was over all of his affairs, and then Potiphar's wife begins to get the hots for Joseph. Come on, somebody. This was a telenovela before telenovela. You know what I mean? Straight up, homie. This was soap opera before soap operas, right? We got a cougar in the house, you know? Come on, man. She found herself a young man, right? She's like, ooh, muy caliente, right? And she starts coming on to Joseph, man. And, she's trying to find time to come on to Joseph. And Joseph is a man of God, and he's having none of it. And so one day she sent everybody out the house. She set it up and had Joseph and her there by themselves. And she comes on to Joseph and trying to do her thing. And the Bible says he runs. But when he runs, she grabs his cloak or robe and tears it. Joseph's out of there. And so now Potiphar comes home. What happened? Oh, he tried to rape me. She lies. Now he's in prison. God dream, sold into slavery, rejected by his family. Come on, somebody. Just because you have a dream doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. I'm in no way prophesying that you're going to go through everything that Joseph went through. But what I am saying is that if it's not easy, doesn't mean it's not coming to pass. Come on, somebody. And so he goes, and now he's in prison. He begins to interpret dreams. God promotes him, begins to interpret, I believe, Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh makes him second in command over the greatest nation in the world. And when he gets out and he's second in command, he gets married. And he has his firstborn child. He names his firstborn child Manasseh. And the name Manasseh means, now you understand that being rejected by your family, being sold into slavery by your family, being wrongfully accused of rape, having your character defamed, going back to prison, yet Joseph kept this good attitude. I mean, we can learn so much from this that we've got to maintain a good attitude in the midst of hard times. And so Joseph does this, and he gets out, he gets married, and he names, and God promotes him to the second in command in the greatest nation of the world. Nobody is over him except Pharaoh on the planet. Because God can take you from the pit to the palace if you'll hold on to your dream. In other words, and here's what Joseph said. He named his first child Manasseh, and Manasseh means, God has caused me to forget the pain. Come on, somebody. If you have a God dream, God can do so many amazing things in your life, so many great things in your life, that he'll cause you to forget the pain of your past. Come on. The pain of your past is only painful if you're still living in your past. But when you say, God, okay, that was horrible, that was painful, but I believe you can do in my life what you did in Joseph's life. God, do such a great thing in my life that you cause me to forget my past. Wow. And his second son's name was Ephraim. And Ephraim means, God caused me to prosper in the land of my affliction. Wow. When you have a God dream, God can birth things in your life that are so great that he causes you to forget them. Would anybody like to forget the pain? I said, would anybody like to forget the pain? Because God did so many great things in your life that I'm just caught up in so much of God's goodness. I just forget the pain. I don't know about y'all. I want to be caught up in God's glory. I want to be caught up in God's goodness to where I'm forgetting the pain of failure, forgetting the pain of the past. Somebody shout yes. And then Ephraim means God causes me to prosper in the land of my affliction. So no matter if you find yourself in affliction or you find yourself working through things in your past, God says, I will birth things in you. If you have a God dream, I will birth things in you that will cause you to forget the pain of your past, and I'll prosper you in the land of your affliction. Come on, somebody. Wow. Someone say dream again. Yeah, I find it peculiar that Jacob's in a difficult time. He's laying on a stone, so he's laying on a stone. And many years in the future, David would use stones to defeat Goliath, defeat the giant that was defying God and defying the armies of God, and basically threatening to take God's people captive as prisoners. This was what the giant represented. And And David comes around and he puts stones in a sling and kills the uncircumcised Philistine. And the uncircumcised Philistine, their whole army gets defeated in a day because David put a stone in a sling and used it for the glory of God. So David kills giants with stones, and yet Jacob's sleeping on a stone. Come on, somebody. What if you're sleeping on the thing that could kill giants? What if you are sleeping on the thing that could kill the giants in your future? What if you are sleeping on your prayer life? Come on, somebody. What if you are sleeping on your relationship with Jesus? What if you are sleeping on the giftings and the talents on the inside of you that you should be using for the glory of God, but you're just sleeping on it? You're just sleeping on your prayer life, sleeping on your word life, just sleeping on your worship life, sleeping on your gifts. I'm not serving. I know I probably could and should, but you know, I'm just busy. But wait a minute. Stop sleeping on. Here's what God said. If your giants aren't falling, maybe it's because you're still sleeping on your stones. Stop sleeping on your stones and start using your stones, and you'll start seeing giants fall. Come on, if you believe it, somebody say amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Jacob dreams a dream, and in the dream there is God the Father at the top, a fresh revelation of God. And upon it there is angels and descending and ascending upon it. Hallelujah. Someone say, dream again. Wow. Now, if you're in a hard place, you're a perfect candidate for God to birth a dream in your life. Or resurrect the dream. Hallelujah. Now, some of you have noticed this. God's dreams, many times, seem to have delays built into them. Now, here's where we go. We either go dream, delay, discouragement. Or we understand dream, delay, development. So just because it's been denied, just because it's been delayed doesn't mean it's been denied. The delay just means God is still developing me. But it doesn't mean that the dreams, come on, somebody, isn't still great, isn't still significant, isn't still powerful, that God won't use our lives to make a difference in our generation. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, this is important. So now notice this. Sometimes there are delays. Abraham, it took 25 years to see the dream come to pass. For Moses, it took 40 years to see the dream come to pass. Are you dreaming for your family? Are you dreaming for your future? Are you dreaming for this church? Are you dreaming for your finances? Are you dreaming for your relationship with God? Because if we can dream it, God can do it. God wants people to dream with Him. Hallelujah. God is a dreamer. God is the giver of dreams. Wow. Now notice this. If nothing is happening in your dream, maybe it's because you're not sowing into someone else's dream. God says, if you don't serve another man's, who will then give you your own? Part of the development is that I got to serve somebody else's dream before God begins to bring my dream to pass. All right, so this is key in that we understand that serving and submission to God and His godly authority is huge within our lives, and that we can serve where God leads us to serve in His kingdom. Come on, if you believe it, somebody say amen. Amen. Now, the ladder in Jacob's dream seems to be a focal point. It was in the middle of a dream, and God the Father, Jehovah's at the top of it. There's angels ascending and descending upon this ladder. There's angels all around it. It was a bridge between heaven and earth. The ladder in Jacob's dream is a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because Jesus is the bridge from heaven to earth, whereby He brings heaven down to us and allows us to climb the ladder of eternal life. So the ladder in Jacob's dream is a type and a shadow of Jesus. In other words, Jacob's dream shows us that no matter how messed up your earth is, there's still a ladder that can allow heaven to invade it. Did you just hear what I said? No matter how messed up your marriage is, no matter how messed up your finances are, no matter how messed up your family is, no matter how messed up your emotions are, no matter how messed up your life has been, there is still a ladder that reaches from heaven all the way into earth and can bring heaven into your earth. Jesus Christ is the ladder in Jacob's dream. Come on, if you believe it, somebody say yes. The latter's name is Jesus, and Jesus is the fourth man in the fire. He is the scarlet thread in Rahab's window. He is the manna from heaven. He is water that was drawn out of the rock. He is the ark that saved humanity from the flood. He is the scapegoat that was killed for the sins of the people. He is the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. He is the rod in Moses' hands that parted the Red Sea. He is the ram caught in the thicket for Abraham, and he says, I am Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. He is the brazen serpent that was raised in the desert, that was placed on a pole, that saved people from the snake bites and impending death. Because Jesus Christ is still Alpha and he is Omega. He is the bright and morning star. He is the lily of the valley. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Do you know what Alpha and Omega is? It's the first and the last letter in the alphabet, the Greek alphabet. And here's what it means. God is all in all. Whatever you need. Can anybody praise him? Because he's everything I need. If I need deliverance, Jesus is that. If I need healing, Jesus is that. If I need provision, Jesus is that. If I need restoration, Jesus is that. Somebody give Jesus a shout of praise in here today. Glory! Hallelujah! I said, he is my everything. Feel like preaching on a ladder just for a little while right now. There's a reason why God hides things within Scripture. Because those who will peer into the Scripture through the gate of his presence can see that it wasn't a ladder at all. It was Jesus the whole time. Jesus brings heaven into my earth, into my situation. Angelic assistance is here. Hallelujah. Angelic assistance is coming. Hallelujah. Angels are real. Hallelujah. Do you know each and every person, each and every believer has a personal angel? Are you with me? Someone's like, woo. Hallelujah. You've been protected until this very day because angels have watched over you. I will give my angels charge concerning you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. All right. This is important. God gave Jacob a dream, and the dream immediately changed Jacob's perspective. Jacob was coming out of a difficult time, looking at a difficult time, and yet God invades his dream, gives him a dream, and immediately Jacob's perspective changes. Here's what he said. He said, he woke up and he said, surely God is in this place, and I did not know it. A God dream will make us more aware of God than we are the circumstance. God dream changes our perspective. I love this. Jacob set up a stone and pour oil on it as an act of worship. A God dream will change the way you worship. Because now I'm not only worshiping God for who he is and what he's done, but I'm also worshiping him for what he's about to do. Because a dream is about what God is going to do. All right? So it does. It changes the way we worship. I love this. Jacob said, this is crazy. Jacob said, this is the house of God, the gate of heaven. A dream can take a city known for nothing and turn it into the house of God and the gate of heaven. Here's what God said. Dreams are gates. Dreams are gates. Gates whereby heaven comes down to earth. Dreams take the things of heaven and bring them into the earth. This is why it's so vital for us to dream. This is why the devil doesn't want you to dream. Okay? If you've come through difficult times, or maybe you've come from wealth, or you've come from poverty. Wherever you've come from, the devil, how many of you know, you can be bound by poverty, but you can also be bound by any other kind of addiction, and you're just as bound, whether you're wealthy or poor. So that doesn't matter. All that matters is that God finds a dreamer. Abraham was a dreamer, and God changed the world through a dreamer. God is looking for dreamers. God is a dreamer. In the beginning, God dreamed. Come on, somebody. I said, in the beginning, God dreamed. That was still too weak. In the beginning, God dreamed. And what he dreamed was he dreamed about a family. And he dreamed about how that family would come to pass. And then the plan of redemption was there. And he saw all the intricacies of how it would work out. But he found at the end that he would have a loving family of sons and daughters who are with him because they want to be with him, not because they were made to be with him. He's a dreamer, and he knew even though the ugly and the evil would happen, that there was his power would come in and redeem and turn the tide and bring redemption to mankind, and it would be beautiful in the end. God is a dreamer, and he's looking for those who will dream with him. Hallelujah.
Wow. That's why the devil doesn't want God's people to dream, because he knows. Devil doesn't want you to dream, doesn't want you to believe big, because he knows, the devil knows, that the dreams are gateways of heaven. And when heaven comes, hell goes. Are you with me? Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. When gates of heaven are open, hell stops prevailing. All right, so that being said, let me just very quickly tell you how. Someone say how. How to dream God's dream. Number one, dream in prayer. Dream in prayer. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that prays in an unknown tongue does not pray unto men, but he prays to God. Howbeit, he speaks mysteries in the Spirit. So when you pray in the Spirit and you dream while you're praying in the Spirit, you are allowing God to give you his mysteries, his secrets. Someone say secrets. God reveals his secrets to you when you pray in the Spirit. When you dream with God, when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you're allowing God to use your spirit as his canvas and begin to paint the dream for your life, for the city, for what he can do in your life. When you dream with God, he's giving you his secrets. Why is it a secret? Because the devil doesn't know what's going on. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, many times I will walk different places and pray and just dream with God. Have you taken any time when you pray to dream? Dream with him. Hallelujah. So number one, dream in prayer. Number two, dream by faith. Dream by faith. Hebrews 11:6, For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You got to dream by faith. With your faith, allow God to show you his dream for your life. And it's going to take faith to believe that he's going to use you, that he's going to do incredible things in your family, that he's going to restore. Here, listen, man, here's the thing. Can we continue to dream when it hasn't come to pass for years? I believe this is where many people miss it, give up, throw in the towel, is when there's been so many delays and so much opposition that they just go, it's not going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. But I wonder if that's what the woman who had the spirit of infirmity for 18 years felt. But come on, that day, one day with Jesus, and come on, her dream came to pass. Keep dreaming during difficult times and dream by faith. For we walk by faith and not by hallelujah. Doesn't matter what I see. Doesn't matter what I feel. What matters is what I believe. And I'm going to go ahead and dream God's dream. Hallelujah. Someone say dream again.
Got to dream by faith. Dream by faith for this city. Dream by faith for this church. Dream by faith. How every service is so full that we can't even get them in because God's moving by his spirit. Salvation's happening everywhere. Salvation's happening in your family. Restoration's happening in extended family and friends at your workplace. Come on, dream. What can God do in your job? What can God do in your family? What can God do in your finance? Come on, dream by faith. Dream that revival is here and it's coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number three, dream and worship. John 4:24, God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Many times when I'm worshiping him, he will begin to give me a dream. And he will, now listen, the dream of God for your life is progressive. It's not instantaneous. So you may not have everything. How many of you ever had God show you a picture of what the future will be? Four of you, that's awesome. Come on. How many of you have ever had God show you a picture of what the future can look like if you'll believe him? All right? See, many times in worship, as I'm just worshiping God, God will begin to paint on the canvas of my spirit. And as I'm worshiping him, he is showing me his dream. He's showing me different facets of his dream for my life that I didn't even know were there. Is this helping anybody? This is why the devil doesn't want you to dream. Many times, the thing that God has for his dream for your life are things that cause things in you to come alive. There are certain things that are dead in some of us because we haven't allowed God to show us his dream. But when we allow him to show us his dream, things in us that are dead come back to life. Or things are active. Hallelujah. I just heard the Lord say, graces are activated when you allow me to show you my dream. There are graces in us from birth, and then there are graces that are bestowed and imparted at salvation, and then there are graces bestowed and imparted at the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then there are graces imparted and bestowed upon us each time we cross lines, we cross thresholds in the realm of the Spirit. New grace is activated, new grace is added to us, and I'm telling you, with enough grace, you can do anything. Hallelujah! I said this in the first service. Somebody just gave Bill Johnson at Bethel, pastor of Bethel, $10 million. What if some of us begin to dream God's dream? God, I pray that you'll make me wealthy so that I can give millions into the kingdom. Instead of just dreaming that God will make me rich so I can be rich, God can't do that. God wants to make you wealthy, but he wants to make you wealthy so that you can be a blessing to somebody else and be blessed yourself. Hallelujah. $10 million, and they're building a project right now. Church facility, going to be amazing what God's doing. And by the way, hundreds of thousands of people have come into that church. Revival's been going on for over a decade there, 20 years, I think. And hundreds of thousands of people come in and been saved, healed, delivered from terminal diseases. Miracles are happening on a daily basis. There are healing rooms going on there all the time. God's dream has come to Redding. Hallelujah. And I believe God's dream is coming to Salinas. God gave them $10 million for a project that's going to cost over $100 million. And they're going to build it debt-free. Hallelujah. But now listen. What is that's a God dream. But Pastor Bill's had that dream for 20 years or more, 30 years. You know what happened when revival began to hit his church? His church shrunk. His church shrunk. Delay. Not denial. Delay. Church shrunk, but the power of God began to grow. And out of that, it is one of the greatest outpourings of the Spirit on the planet today. Hallelujah. I don't even know how big the church is, but it's in the multiplied thousands. It's just incredible. They got a school that is touching the world. It's absolutely phenomenal what God has done there. But what I'm saying is, dreams are going to have to be done, have to be dreamed in faith. We're going to, let me just give you these so that we I make sure that we have them. Number one, dream in prayer. Someone say pray. By the way, we're having prayer tonight. We're having prayer tonight and next week. This week and next week, we are praying tonight. And so everybody, let's believe in God for greater manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who wants more of God. When pastor calls prayer, we want to make sure that we fight to be there. Because when God's people come together and pray, it is a demonstration that we are hungry for him. Are you listening to me? It's about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. And the presence of God is powerful. So come be a part of that tonight and next week. Tonight at 6 and next week at 6. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. Number one, dream in prayer. Number two, dream by faith. Number three, dream in worship. And number four, declare the dream. Declare the dream. You may not want to tell certain family members because they might hate. Just like Joseph's family. Right? Not only did they hate, they threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. So you can't, come on, you can't talk to everybody. I'm really not even talking about talking to people about your dream. I'm talking about declaring your dream. When you're by yourself, on the way to work, on the way home, come on, somebody. Declaring, because the Bible says, Job 22:28, you will also decree a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine upon your ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sounds crazy to declare that dream over your family. That's okay. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Sounds crazy to declare that you're wealthy. That's okay. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Sounds crazy to declare that you're healthy. That's okay. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Sounds crazy to declare that your marriage is healthy and burning on fire. That's okay. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Sounds crazy to declare that revival's happening instantly. That's okay. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Come on, somebody's got to declare the dream. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if we'll get to it, how next week will work out, but I just, you know, God's been speaking to me as much as this is for me, as much as it is for anybody else. And I want to tell you, there's a process. There's a process to getting to a place where you allow your heart to dream. If you've dealt with difficulty in your life, I understand that, you know, the Bible says that broken spirit dries up the bones. Broken spirit dries up the bones. Broken heart. The good news is we serve the mender of the broken heart. And God can cause those who have been hurting, those who have been through great difficulty, he can cause them to dream again. Hallelujah. Say this, say, God, do it in me. Show me your dream for my life, your plan, your assignment. I dream your dream in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.